This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellens. With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio, Stephen Gates, cellist and one of the organizers of the fourth annual KUAF Fulbright Summer Chamber Music Festival. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
Had violinist Urgene Kong here last time.
Right, right. And I was glad for her to do that. It gave me a day off, and she talks differently about music than I do sometimes, and that's a good thing.
Well, let's see. We've passed the halfway point now.
Right.
Hard to believe that summer – well, summer's not half over. Summer hasn't even started. Mm. But for this festival, we're starting the second half, and it starts with another concert that will be at Stella Boyle Smith.
Right. On Thursday, the 14th of June. Which is what? Isn't that some holiday in Canada?
Flag Day.
Flag
Day. It's Flag Day here.
Flag Day here.
Yes.
Okay, good. That's
yes.
what I thought.
You'll begin with Sonata for Flute and Piano.
Right, a Prokofiev Sonata.
Yeah.
Pretty well-known piece. It was written, I don't know whether violinists and flutists argue about this or not, probably, but it is played, let's say, on both instruments. I don't know if Prokofiev... If I had to guess, I'd guess it was written for violin and flute to play it also, but I could be backwards. Anyway, it's hence pretty well known. It's a piece that I know, you know, as a cellist. There is a Prokofiev cello sonata, but it's not this piece. And so I know it only as a listener, but it's a lot of fun. It has a lot of the, I guess what I think of as sort of typical characteristics of Prokofiev in that it has some very driving sort of rhythms, and it has it sounds 20th century, but it's not, you know, there's some music that even I would put in kind of an off-putting category of 20th century music, and this is not at all. Prokofiev has beautiful, beautiful tunes. I mean, it starts with a very kind of quiet piano part and a very beautiful tune in the flute. And incidentally, this is going to be played by Rhonda Maines, our flutist, also a music department chair, and pianist Shengwan Kwan, who has been here before, the last couple of years, I believe. And she will play this program and the one on the 21st.
When you rehearse, do you rehearse in Stella Boyle Smith?
Some. It goes both ways. When we play a piece that has a lot of players, mm-hmm. yes, because it's the venue, of course, where we do play the concert, and we don't have real good rooms for an ensemble of say 8 to 10 people. However, when we do small ensembles, especially string quartets, we try to rehearse them somewhere where the acoustics are not so flattering, so we can kind of hear better. The Stella Boyle Smith, especially when there's no audience there, is quite live. It's almost boomy. And, you know, you might say everybody sounds great in there. And so we want to, when we've got ensemble issues that we really want to work on, we tend to go into one of the studios, usually Urgene's studio, mm-hmm. which is, I don't know, I guess the word would be drier. You can hear a little bit better each individual instrument.
When you rehearse, say it's you're not rehearsing in Stella Boyle Smith, it's four of you. Do you sit in the same sort of situation?
Yes,
you would?
we sit as we would in Stella Boyle Smith, with a sense of, well, the audience would be out there, kind of thing. And so we sit roughly, at least, mm-hmm. the same way. And so we get used to, you know, where is that musical line coming from, my right or my left or something like that. So we know our visual lines and our auditory lines, you know, for what to listen to.
Interesting. Now,
yeah.
Brahms will finish this program.
Yeah, the Brahms Trio in B major. It has a very, very early opus number, which sort of is only – oh, I don't know, 75% accurate in a way. He did write this trio very early in life. I don't know the date. But then came back to it quite a bit later after he had written two other trios at least and a bunch of other chamber music and did a lot of really major revision. And it's the revised version that everyone plays. I have in the book that I have of these trios, it has the original version in it. And I've just sort of looked at it, and I have heard a recording of it. But, you know, and the tunes are the same, mm-hmm. and the key changes are roughly the same, but it has, I don't know, filler and stuff that, I mean, I'm influenced by Brahms, I suppose, but that it seems nice that he revised it, let's say.
The 20th century has been well represented in this year's festival.
Yes. You know, I was thinking about that the other day. Better than sometimes. And we've got, you know, these composers, Prokofiev certainly. Brahms almost made it to the 20th
right.
century. And then there's a couple of other pieces yet to come. But I think that if you were to go back to the oldest piece maybe we did was this piece by Bieber on the first concert. And then go over to there's a piece in the last concert by a living Arkansas composer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the span is probably greater than any other season that we've had, and I think that's kind of neat.
And we can talk about Wildfire, which is on that last program, written by Karen Griebling.
Right.
We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. But I guess I brought that up because chamber music doesn't have to be 100 years old or 50 years old.
Right. Absolutely. And that's one of the things. And you know, we tend to play what's out there. Mm-hmm. And composers, including almost every major composer that one can think of, from the Baroque through, you might say, yesterday afternoon, mm-hmm. have interested in writing chamber music. There are a lot of wonderful 20th century chamber music works.
I'm going to ask you this question, and your standard beginning to the answer is this is, well, I can only speak for myself, so I understand
right.
that. I'm not asking
yep.
you to speak
okay.
for anyone else. There's chamber music that's written to be chamber music, but you could sit down and hear someone do a Lennon-McCartney composition as chamber music.
Yep.
Do you think that's just novelty, or can you take something that wasn't written to be chamber music and turn it into some – I mean, if –
I think it cuts both ways
okay.
in the sense that, and I don't mean to be hedging here, but
right.
some pieces seem to lend themselves very well to reduction in forces, let's say,
okay.
if that's a fair way to describe it. And things go the other direction, too. We played, I think on our first summer, we did the Brahms G minor piano quartet.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an orchestral version of that written by, I think it's Anton Webern. I'm not positive I'm right. But you were talking about Lennon-McCartney.
Or Glenn Miller or Benny Goodman or...
Yeah, those things. I mean, anything that would fit into the more, I don't know how to say it, but more popular vein...
Mm-hmm.
Could be done that way, although, again, I'm not sure, and here I really will speak for myself, I'm not sure that I would be comfortable with that style of playing.
Right.
But if we had people who were, you know, big band made into, say, small band,
mm-hmm.
would be
mm-hmm.
fine, I would think. And I think also very entertaining. There is, even for the audience, a nice thing about seeing only one player on a part and only a small number, 2 to 10 players on stage at once.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice. There is an intimate feel of it, which is, I guess, part of what makes it kind of cool.
This Thursday, it's at Cilla Boyle Smith Concert Hall. That's inside the Fine Arts Center on the University of Arkansas campus. Parking is easy.
Easy, and lots of it. In the summer, as nearly as I can make out, we don't teach evening classes. And so sometimes on, a Thursday night in March, it can be even hard to park in that parking garage because
right.
it gets full. But in the summer, it's wide open. And, of course, when the concerts begin, it's still light out. And there's a reception following. So it's just a lovely thing to do on a Thursday night.
And free and open to the public.
Free and open to the public.
Stephen Gates, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.